This is edition 1354 of the Windham and Attleborough Talking Newspaper for the 31st of July 2026. Hello, I'm John, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the latest edition of your News and Information Service. The editors are David, Tony, and Anne. The sound technician is Vince, and the administration was done by Chris. The items you'll hear have been taken from the Windham and Attleborough Mercury, Eastern Daily Press, Norwich Evening News, Dis Express, Windham Magazine, the Heatherset Herald, and the Forncett Flyer. Your other readers are Annie and Tracy, and the first item will be read by Annie.
A man was airlifted to hospital after a crash at a motocross track. The incident happened at Besthorpe Motocross Track just before 2:45 p.m. on Sunday, July the 26th. An ambulance officer vehicle, and the East Anglian Air Ambulance were called to the scene. The man was transported by air to Addenbrookes Hospital for further care. A spokesman for Besthorpe Motocross Track said, "Thanks for your patience while we dealt with a very serious injury, which may have been caused by a medical issue leading up to the crash, but not confirmed yet. We hope to bring you some good news as and when we can, and we wish the rider a speedy recovery." A spokesman for the track also thanked emergency services for their quick response.
A tapir named Inca, who starred in a Hits Channel 4 documentary, is the newest arrival at a Norfolk zoo. The 10-year-old tapir, who starred in Channel 4's The Secret Life of the Zoo when she was just a baby, marks the arrival of Banham Zoo's first ever tapir. Inca was previously housed at Chester Zoo, where she became a familiar face to the public through her appearance in the popular television documentary series. Her arrival will be followed by the return of zebras, alongside Timur, a male Amur tiger from the Cologne Zoo, who will join the resident female tiger, Mishka. Ross Snipp, zoological director at Banham Zoo, said, "We're incredibly excited to welcome Inca to Banham Zoo. Introducing tapirs to the collection is a significant milestone for us, and we're looking forward to visitors meeting this new species. Alongside the return of our zebras and the arrival of Timur, it's shaping up to be one of the most exciting summers we've had in recent years." Inca's new home is a mixed species paddock, with capybaras due to join her later in the year.
A garden restaurant has reopened following a full refurbishment. The Four Seasons restaurant, based at Windham Gardens Centre, reopened on July the 18th. With a fresh new look after it shut temporarily on July the 7th for its first major upgrade in a decade. After the refurb's application was submitted in October last year, the closure was first announced in March. The changes have introduced new seating areas, lighting, plant decorations, and bespoke wooden framing. In a statement, the Garden Centre team said, "We're incredibly proud of what the team has achieved in such a short space of time. The transformation has given the restaurant a completely new look and feel while keeping the warm, welcoming atmosphere our customers know and love. We can't wait to welcome both familiar faces and new visitors to experience everything Four Seasons has to offer." Four Seasons opened as a coffee shop in 2016, as part of Windham Garden Centre, but is rebranded as a restaurant as it enters its new chapter. It serves home-cooked food using locally sourced produce for breakfast and lunch.
A scheme to restore natural habitat in an area just outside the city has been hailed a success. The Windham Habitat Bank, located between Flawdon Common and Lower Wood in Ashwellthorpe, is part of Environment Bank's National Network of Biodiversity Net Gain, BNG sites, and is restoring nearly 55 acres of farmland into thriving habitats. Eleanor Walker, senior ecologist at Environment Bank, said, "The nature recovery that we've seen so far at our Wyndham Habitat Bank is astounding. In just 2 months, we've laid the foundations to support essential species like birds and bats through our creation of diverse habitats. This site allows key developments in Norwich to go ahead while also giving back to nature. The site is reintroducing rare habitats such as fenland and replanting black poplars, one of Britain's rarest native trees. A previously infilled ghost pond has also been excavated to restore freshwater habitats for species like the great crested newt. The project supports BNG targets under the Environment Act 2021, requiring developers to deliver a minimum 10% increase in biodiversity."
A woman was taken to hospital after falling over at a Norfolk airfield during a huge annual event. The incident happened at Old Buckenham Airfield near Attleborough just after 4:50 p.m. on Saturday, July the 25th. It came as thousands gathered to attend the Old Buckenham Air Show and see the event where aircraft take to the sky and create displays. An ambulance was called to the scene and traffic exiting the event was stopped while crews dealt with the medical emergency. A spokesman for the East of England Ambulance Service confirmed that an adult woman had been injured in a fall and was taken to the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital for further assessment and treatment. A spokesman for the airfield has since thanked visitors for their patience while leaving the event. "We have had to hold traffic leaving while we let an ambulance into the airfield to deal with an medical emergency," the spokesman said.
A new care home for the elderly, including those living with dementia, has announced its opening date. Baysfield Care Home in Wyndham will officially open its doors on August the 22nd, with a grand opening taking place between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. The event will include summer entertainment, tours of the new facility, and an opportunity for guests to meet the care team. The home will provide 24-hour residential dementia and respite care. The two-story, 66-bedroom facility on land south of London Road was approved by South Norfolk Council in April last year as part of the Williams Park development. The council highlighted the necessity for more elderly care spaces in the area and confirmed the proposal aligned well with the surrounding development, raising no significant concerns. Wyndham Town Council also supported the plans, which include access roads, parking, and landscaped gardens. The home will cater to both general elderly residents and those with dementia. The layout allows for a separation of these two types of care, and the facility includes secure garden areas for residents. The new development is set to create approximately 58 jobs, with up to 24 staff on site at any given time due to shift work.
A former library that served the community for nearly 60 years has sold at auction for more than £193,000. The library, located off Connaught Road in Attleborough, is a post-war building that was created to house 12,000 books when it opened in 1959. It went under the hammer with BTG Edison's property auctions last week, fetching £193,500, comfortably surpassing its guide price. Christopher Theo Carides, senior commercial surveyor at BTG Edison's Property Auctions, previously said, "This is an architecturally striking building that has been part of local people's lives in Attleborough for decades. It's been unused for a few years now, so the auction offers an opportunity to give a well-known local landmark a new lease of life." The library was designed by architect G.W. Oak, and was funded by a legacy from solicitor Melanithon Loam Brooke. It was described by architectural historian Sir Nicholas Pevsner as a very pleasant, fresh little building. The building sits on a half-acre plot and may be suitable for alternative uses subject to planning permission. Mr. Theo Carides added, the property has a sizeable site and scope for a range of future uses.
A dirty and horrible water leak has been left unfixed for 6 weeks amid a hosepipe ban and soaring temperatures. The water has been pouring down Chandler's Hill in Wyndham since last month. Locals believe the cause of the leak, which has been compared to a fjord, is a broken paving slab which has brought a water pipe to the surface. One local woman, who wants to remain anonymous, said, it has been getting stronger and stronger and is now going into an elderly woman's front drive and garden. The water is dirty and horrible, so it's not nice to see every day. It is especially frustrating as we are in a hosepipe ban, which everyone in the area has been following. From 1 a.m. on July the 11th, people in parts of Norfolk and Suffolk were banned from using hosepipes to water gardens, clean vehicles or fill paddling pools under restrictions imposed by Anglian Water. The county is currently enduring its fourth heatwave of the summer, with temperatures reaching 33 degrees Celsius this week. Last Friday, a spokesman for the company said, at this stage, there are no plans to lift the restrictions just yet. Anglian Water has been contacted a few times, but they have not done anything yet, Jane added. We have given up on anyone helping at this point. When quizzed about the leak, a spokesman for Anglian Water explained they could not provide information about specific cases at this time. During periods of hot weather, the high temperatures can cause ground movement that results in an increase of burst water mains or leaks, he said. Our teams continue working hard through the hot weather to prioritise repairs that are having the greatest impact on customers' water supplies and those resulting in the highest water loss. We would like to thank our customers for their patience while we respond to the challenges created by this period of exceptionally warm weather.
A television star has been spotted filming at a huge motorbike event in a Norfolk village on the 28th of July. Those who attended the Bikes on the Green outside the Ox and Plough pub in Old Buckenham were delighted to see presenter and former motorcycle racer Guy Martin. The event, which is also known as Two Wheel Tuesday, brought 1,300 bikers to what is widely considered to be one of the largest village greens in the country. Martin greeted and took photos with the crowd after he was seen filming with the East Anglian Air Ambulance. According to a member of the Wishmakers Motorcycle Association, one of the groups who took photos with the 44-year-old, Martin was filming Series 3 of Guy Martin Proper Jobs. The Channel 4 programme follows the presenter, who still works as a mechanic, as he attempts a variety of different demanding professions. The staff at the Ox and Plough sang Martin's praises after hinting at the celebrity guest on social media on Monday. If you have ever wondered what he is like in person, we can honestly say he's one of the nicest, most down-to-earth people you could hope to meet, they said. He genuinely took the time to stop, chat, and show a real interest in everyone he met. It was an absolute pleasure to have him with us. We're also incredibly grateful to the East Anglian Air Ambulance crew. This is a Bikes on the Green we'll be talking about for a long time, the staff added. Thank you for making it so memorable.
The family of a man who died after being hit by a lorry on the A47 have described him as a loving dad who will be deeply missed. Jonathan Martin, 33, died at the scene between the Colney and Longwater junctions at about 10:40 p.m. on July the 17th. Mr. Martin's loved ones have paid tribute to him following the opening of an inquest into his death. They said, we are devastated at the loss of Jono, who was a loving father, stepfather, son, grandson, brother and uncle, who will be deeply missed. While we grieve as a family, we ask for privacy at this time, but do ask if anyone has any information that may help the police and their investigation, then please come forward. Mr. Martin, a lorry driver himself, lived on Morrow Drive in Attleborough. A full inquest into the circumstances surrounding his death has been set for January next year. Norfolk Police are urging witnesses or anyone with dashcam footage to come forward. Anyone with any information should contact the force, quoting reference 678 of July the 17th.
The owner of a cafe at a town's railway station is looking forward to returning to normal after months of disruption from nearby roadworks. Brendan Gray, who runs Station Bistro in Wyndham, said he lost hundreds of pounds in bookings and his business was pushed near breaking point after Station Approach, the main road leading to the site, was closed in March 2025 for construction. It is understood Taylor Wimpey and Vistry, contractors working on a housing development nearby, are creating an underpass beneath the railway line for pedestrians to access the town centre. Mr. Gray said the cafe suffered a drop in customers, some of whom had thought the business had been closed. However, he is now looking forward to a brighter future for the cafe, with the main access to the bistro restored. He said, "We're very thankful that after 16 months it is finally back open. It is our main access point, so it's very useful. It's been a bit of a struggle while it's been closed, but we're looking to kick on now it's open again. We're really thankful for all the support from our customers that helped us get through the difficult period." In a recent Facebook post, staff said, "Station Approach is back open and the summer holidays have started. We look forward to seeing you all over the coming weeks."
A dad from Norfolk has spent almost £17,000 transforming a Chevrolet Camaro into Lightning McQueen after getting the idea from a boozy night out. Andy King, 60, began his passion project last September after buying a 2010 Chevrolet Camaro 6.2 V8 SS for just shy of £10,000. Mr. King from Long Stratton then spent £7,000 transforming the muscle car into the Disney Pixar character at his son's suggestion. The handyman said, "It started from a bit of banter on a boys' night out. We go out locally on a Thursday, and we came across an advert for this car. I typed out a message offering to pick it up on the Saturday, and by the end of the night I'd sent it. It's not a bad result from being inebriated. It started from a bit of fun, but to bring so many people happiness, that's really nice." The dad of two said he's been such a hit in our family. "I drove 270 miles home from collecting the car, which was then orange, in Accrington, and it was amazing. It did feel strange sitting on the left. It needed a few repairs and a fresh paint. My son suggested I get it wrapped instead, and he said it'd be good as Lightning McQueen. I bought all the decor online, and the stickers were installed as well as the wrap. Andy has spent £7,000 on transforming the Chevrolet Camaro into Lightning McQueen, and initially took the car to a school fete. He received a flurry of interest and now loans the vehicle out for proms, birthdays, and weddings, even having interest from Wales. Andy, who used to work as a joiner, said he has stopped regularly when taking the car into his town, and he receives interest from all ages. He plans to keep working on Lightning McQueen and said the project will continue to evolve."
A bistro and cafe has announced the heartbreaking decision to close just over a year after opening. The Marketplace in Kenninghall was opened in April last year by Karen Cummins in collaboration with private celebrity chef Stephen Grant, who has worked for the likes of Will Smith, Tom Hardy and Jason Statham. In November, it was taken over by Emma Davies, who decided to make some changes, including opening 7 days a week. She also introduced evening dining earlier this year, with regular bistro nights and themed evenings. Ms. Davies announced the closure on July the 20th. "After an incredible journey, we have made the heartbreaking decision to close the Marketplace," she said. "This wasn't a decision we wanted to make, and it certainly wasn't made lightly. Like so many independent businesses, we have faced challenges that have become impossible to overcome despite giving everything we had. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. The announcement said that the marketplace will stay open for at least the next 2 weeks while they use up their stock.
The Norfolk School has been praised for its strong culture of learning after inspectors said it had successfully addressed previous areas for improvement. In its latest Ofsted report, Robert Kett Primary School in Wyndham was found to meet the expected standard, with inspectors highlighting a well-structured and ambitious curriculum following its move to Unity Schools Partnership. Staff were recognised for forging positive relationships with pupils and encouraging them to think more deeply, while the school's ethos and high expectations were also commended. Head teacher Miss Fahey said, "The inspection highlighted the positive relationships across the school, the ambition we have for all pupils, and the strong culture of learning that helps children to thrive both academically and personally. We are particularly proud that the inspectors recognised our caring ethos, high expectations, and the inclusive environment we have created, where every child is known, valued, and supported to succeed." Inspectors noted recent improvements in special education needs and disabilities, SEND, provision and inclusion, although both remain areas for further development.
Warning has been issued after a snow globe sparked a fire in a family home. The incident, which happened in Heatherset, saw fire crews from the village, as well as Earlham, called to the scene. Firefighters discovered that sunlight had been refracted through a glass snow globe on a windowsill, causing a pencil case to catch fire. It was spotted by a quick-thinking 14-year-old, Poppy, who alerted fire services and got out of the property with the family dog. A fire service spokesman said, "Thankfully the fire self-extinguished before it could spread further. We've since gone round to complete a home fire safety visit, and Poppy and her family are continuing to promote fire safety at home. This is an important reminder to keep glass ornaments, mirrors, and other reflective objects away from direct sunlight and combustible materials, particularly on windowsills." Well done to Poppy for her quick thinking and calm actions, which helped ensure the incident ended safely.
A decision over a new £3 million TIP for a rapidly growing Norfolk town could be made within months. Plans to replace the existing Wyndham Recycling Centre with a new one in nearby Spooner Row are due to be discussed by members of Norfolk County Council's Planning Committee by late summer. Wyndham has been in line to get a replacement recycling centre for several years because hundreds of new homes are due to be built in and near the town. At that time, County Hall revealed it wanted to move the TIP from its current site at Strayground Lane to a new home south of the town near Spooner Row on the B1172. But the scheme got caught up in delays because of the COVID pandemic and what the council described as complex technical issues, including the need to make sure the land where it would be built drains properly. Officials finally lodged plans for the new recycling centre through the council-owned Norse Group in February. Following May's elections, the council is now under the control of Reform, but at a meeting of the Infrastructure and Development Select Committee, a report, which went before councillors, made clear the Spooner Row recycling centre plans are still proceeding. The report stated, "It is expected that planning permission will be determined late summer 2026. Subject to the award of planning consent, construction is currently programmed to commence in the current financial year." Documents lodged in support of the application state the centre would be able to deal with up to 10,000 tonnes of waste per year from households, along with small amounts of trade waste. The earliest the plans will come before councillors now is September, as July's planning committee was cancelled and there is no committee meeting scheduled for August. The proposed centre would open from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. 6 days a week, excluding Wednesdays, and would also include a reuse shop where second-hand items are sold. Spooner Row Community Council has asked for the proposed name of Wyndham Recycling Centre to be reconsidered. In their submission, as part of the planning process, they said, "The council considers the proposed name likely to cause confusion for residents and visitors and requests the established Norfolk naming style is maintained. A location-based alternative such as Spooner Row Recycling Centre or Norwich South West Recycling Centre would better reflect local identity, location and sense of place."
A whiskey distillery in Norfolk has earned a highly coveted prize at a major global food and drink awards. The Norfolk PX Whiskey, produced by the English Whiskey Company, which is based in Rowdham, was one of just 17 East Anglian products to receive a 3-star rating in the 2026 Great Taste Awards. The awards, organised by the Guild of Fine Food, are widely regarded as the world's leading food and drink accreditation scheme. Andrew Nelstrop, Managing Director of the English Whiskey Company, said, "The Norfolk PX has always been something of a hidden gem within our range, and everyone here at the distillery has always known just how exceptional it is. Every bottle is crafted with immense care, passion, and attention to detail, and we're incredibly proud of the distinctive character, versatility, and quality that the Norfolk PX delivers. To receive recognition from Great Taste is a tremendous honour. The Golden Fork Ceremony will take place on September the 15th at Battersea Arts Centre."
A teenager jailed for stabbing a man in the face was found to be armed with a Rambo knife just weeks after his prison release. Isaac King, 18, was sentenced to 6 months youth detention in March for an attack in which he stabbed his victim through the nose with a screwdriver. But less than 2 months after being released from a young offenders institution, he was arrested again for peddling cocaine in Norwich city centre with an enormous blade concealed in his waistband. Norwich Magistrates Court was told being found with a terrifying weapon, with a large serrated blade, was his third knife conviction, despite his young age. Josephine Jones, prosecuting, said, "There cannot be any legitimate reason to possess a large knife such as this, other than to threaten or harm others." After being spotted riding a moped on Rouen Road on July the 25th, police had observed him acting furtively with known drug users, the court heard. When arrested, he was found with a package containing 46 separately wrapped bags of cocaine concealed in his groin area. King of Ryfield Road, Mulbarton, pleaded guilty to possession of a bladed item and possession of cocaine with intent to supply. Miss Jones said he had been on police bail at the time, with conditions banning him from entering Norwich in a ring road. The teen drug dealer denied a further charge of assaulting a police officer by spitting in his face while being held in custody. Magistrates committed his sentencing and trial preparation to Norwich Crown Court after being told the starting point was 4.5 years in prison. Remanding him to remain in custody, they added, "These serious offences occurred a very, very short time after you had been at liberty." Rachel Buck, mitigating, said he had been struggling to adapt after his release from youth custody on June the 3rd, and that he was very impressionable. His previous sentence for actual bodily harm and possession of a bladed weapon came after he stabbed a man on Magdalen Street in front of a number of people waiting at a bus stop. He later boasted that he had stabbed a nitty, a slang term for a drug user.
Long queues and heartwarming scenes marked the opening of a new inclusive toy shop Fun Toys in Queen's Square, Attleborough, drew waits of up to 2 hours from families eager to visit on its launch day on Saturday, July the 4th. The new toy shop, designed to be welcoming and inclusive for all children, is the brainchild of Jodie Garrett and was officially opened by the Mayor of Attleborough and a local councillor. Ms. Garrett, who has built a following of more than 25,000 people on TikTok, said, "The turnout was incredible. We never imagined people would be willing to queue for so long. Seeing so many smiling faces and happy children made all the hard work worthwhile." As a mother of two children with additional needs, Ms. Garrett has used her personal experience to shape the shop's approach. One of her children is autistic and has selective mutism, so she wanted to create a space where every child could feel comfortable. She added, "I wanted to create somewhere that every child can enjoy, regardless of their needs. If we can make shopping less overwhelming and help children feel relaxed and included, then we've achieved what we set out to do." Fun Toys offers a hands-on experience, encouraging children to look, touch, and interact with toys. Understanding that busy retail environments can be overwhelming for some, Ms. Garrett also offers private shopping appointments. These sessions allow one family at a time to visit the store in a calm, quiet environment designed to reduce anxiety and sensory overload.
And here is the first of two recent EDP editorials. Enough about the North, Andy. What about the East? A little over a month ago, Andy Burnham wasn't even an MP. Now he's the Prime Minister. Some might well question the process which forced Keir Starmer to hand over the keys to Number 10, let alone how much of a mandate Mr. Burnham has from the electorate to move into Downing Street. More worryingly, there has been little scrutiny of what matters moving forwards, the policies with which he plans to deliver the much-promised change our country needs. Mr. Burnham has so far sidestepped this by going largely silent when it comes to the detail. While we have heard plenty about so-called Manchesterism and how devolving a sizeable chunk of the Whitehall establishment to the north will help pump prime devolution, we have so far heard little else beyond vague pledges to tackle the cost of living crisis and sort out social care. We have heard no mention of East Anglia, let alone Norfolk. Not so much as a dicky bird about the issues our region faces or how they might be tackled. The farmers who grow a large part of our nation's food are grappling with rising costs and other pressures, not least our changing weather. And the hospitality and tourist trades, which are our biggest employers, are also struggling, with those that have survived catering in many cases for fewer customers with less in their pockets to spend. Our NHS struggles to cope with rising demand as our population ages more rapidly than the national average, as many younger people face never being able to afford their own home in the village or town they grew up in. While these are not the only issues Norfolk faces, they are among the most pressing items on our county's to-do list for our new PM. Yet, as he settles in behind the famous black door, we are still waiting for the detail when it comes to Mr. Burnham's plans. So come on, Andy, what are you going to do for us?
Library is one of Norfolk's great success stories. Norfolk's libraries have been much in the headlines in recent weeks, amid raging controversy over the extent to which they should be involved in promoting pride and other topics. It is refreshing to see one in the news for the simple task of lending books and providing other services to the public. The reopening of Norwich's Millennium Library in the Forum Building is extremely welcome. For those who use it, these have been long 3 months since it closed to allow workmen in to carry out a £1.3 million revamp. Those improvements can now be seen. They include a new bookshop-style entrance to make browsing easier, increased study space, a redesigned river-themed early years library, dedicated new areas for children and teenagers, improved accessibility, enhanced lighting and furniture, and of course more USB charging points. The revamp comes as the library turns 25. That is enough time to consider it one of the city's great triumphs of recent years. The library is one of the busiest in the UK. It receives 1 million visitors a year and has become a much cherished public space right in the heart of Norwich. Older readers may still miss the old Norwich Central Library, which sat on the same site and was lost to fire in 1994. But its replacement has certainly proved a success story.
Community news. Heatherset VC Primary School. Another year, another amazing Year 6 Leavers event. This year was super special, celebrating our fabulous Year 6 pupils. The first class starting at our school from reception and going through to Year 6. We can't thank the parents enough for participating and celebrating with us. A special thank you must go to two PTA members who now depart from our school, Rebecca and Sarah. Both have supported and been a huge part in arranging events over the last 7 years, helping us to raise over £50,000. Volunteering your spare time in creating incredible events over the years has not gone unnoticed. From Christmas activities during lockdown to our Heatherset VC festivals, thank you. We hope all our pupils had the best time and will have these memories forever. We wish you all the best on your next chapter. From Wyndham Heritage Museum, we have the most massive thank you to say to Wyndham Garden Centre for gifting us some absolutely stunning tables to replace our old ones in the museum tea room. As they transformed their own cafe space, they had some older tables that were surplus and were generous enough to gift them to the museum for free. They are absolutely beautiful, and we are so, so pleased and grateful. Wyndham Garden Centre have proven once again what incredible supporters of the community they are, and we are so touched by their generosity. Thank you. We love them and know our customers will too. And from Harpham All Saints Church Flower and History Weekend. Cliff and Jackie Amos would like to thank everyone that visited over the weekend to enjoy the church, flower displays, history displays and refreshments. We had an amazing few days where we welcomed over 300 visitors and it was lovely to meet everyone. The refreshments and donations raised £928.28, which will be donated to the Norfolk Churches Trust. Also, a huge thank you to everyone that helped make this event possible. Whether you made a display, helped set up, helped make and serve refreshments or anything else, the weekend wouldn't have been possible without all of you, and we are very grateful for the amazing support.
Another successful junior bake-off took place on the 12th of July at North Wyndham Community Centre. This year's theme was the Mad Hatter's Tea Party from Alice in Wonderland, with contestants challenged to create a decorated very unhappy birthday cake. They certainly rose to the occasion, impressing the judges with imaginative designs and cakes that, by all accounts, tasted second to none. While judging was underway, family and friends enjoyed tabletop games, shopped for crocheted soft toys sold by a young entrepreneur, Isabella, enjoyed trying out glitter tattoos, face painting, watched a performance by the Kellaloo Academy of Irish Dancing, and tried their hand at tombola with lovely prizes, which included a voucher donated by Mad Hatter's Tea Shop in Wyndham. Popular homemade refreshments were on sale to enjoy while watching all the activities taking place. Every junior baker shone on the day, creating marvellous Mad Hatter's Tea Party cakes that showed real focus and impressive decorating skills. And in Ramplingham, a wonderful day and a special day for our village as we came together to celebrate two things that are at the heart of Ramplingham, remembering our past and strengthening our community. The beautifully renovated and cleaned war memorial now stands proudly once again, providing a fitting tribute to those from our village who made the ultimate sacrifice. A huge thank you to Angela and Sandra and everyone who helped restore and care for this important landmark, ensuring it remains a place of reflection and remembrance for future generations. The day also saw our annual village picnic bring together residents of all ages. Friends, neighbours and families enjoyed a wonderful afternoon of conversation, laughter, food and companionship. It was a fantastic reminder of the strong community spirit that makes Ramplingham such a special place to live. From our youngest residents to our longest standing villagers, it was heartening to see so many people enjoying each other's company and celebrating all that unites us as a community. Thank you to everyone who helped organise the event, contributed refreshments and joined in. We look forward to doing it all again next year.
And now two letters from local contributors, the first from John Myhill of Hethel, who writes, "The writer of the letter of July 28th on why we should welcome all people to Britain clearly believes we are a wealthy country who can afford to feed, house, and medicalize all who wish to live here. This is a delusion. People who were born here cannot get anywhere to live. Many young people cannot get employment and are drawn into drugs and crime by gangs. We are totally unprepared for the kind of fires that are sweeping France and Spain that will come to us all too soon. We have insufficient water supplies for all those living here now. Sea levels are rising and floods will cover much good agricultural land. World famine is getting closer, so the numbers coming here will increase geometrically in the next few years, whilst we cover good land with solar panels and AI storage centres, as well as new housing estates to house migrants. Our prisons are full so that our laws cannot be enforced and anarchy reigns. Meanwhile, we prepare for war with Russia as if we were a world power, rather than a failed economy sinking into debt. It is surely time to recognize that we are a third world country and seek international investment to lessen the impact of climate change, restore food security, and secure our borders." And secondly, from Tim Bournette of Old Buckenham, "Much talk has emerged recently over the issue of how a Prime Minister is elected. The argument is that as Keir Starmer was elected in 2024, Andy Burnham should call an immediate election to seek a fresh mandate. But constitutionally, a Prime Minister is not elected, but chosen by the monarch. But by convention, the monarch appoints a PM who commands the support of the House of Commons. This is known as parliamentary government. Nowadays, this means in reality, the leader of the party who holds a majority, or is the largest party. As long as a general election is held every 4 or 5 years, there is no need for general elections. Only the legislature is elected. Unlike the USA system, by which the executive, or president, is elected, plus the legislature, Congress, elected separately. In the US, the Constitution is sovereign. In the UK, Parliament is sovereign."
Some what's-ons for your diary. In Wyndham, there will be a summer fete on Saturday, 8th of August, from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Sutherland's Care Home, Norwich Road, Wyndham, with a tombola, raffle, refreshments and more in aid of the Residents' Amenity Fund. Old Buckenham Village Hall have a craft fair on Saturday the 8th of August from 12 noon to 4 p.m. with crafts, handmade gifts, vintage theme items, plants and homemade bakes, something for everyone. For details, contact bookings.obvh@gmail.com. I'll repeat that. Contact bookings.obvh@gmail.com. And at Old Buckenham Village Hall, there will be a car boot sale on Sunday the 16th of August. Set up from 8 a.m, buyers welcome from 8:30 a.m. For more information, telephone 07565 128066. That's 07565 128066. And the Old Bucknam Beer and Music Festival will take place on Friday the 14th and Saturday the 15th of August at Old Bucknam Cricket Club, with live music, great beer and street food. Admission in advance by wristband at a cost of £5. On the gate entry will be £8. Under 17s are free. Advanced wristbands are available from the Griffin in Attleborough.
And in Hethel. In Hethel Church, the cream tea season is 5 Sundays in August, including the 9th and 16th, from 2 p.m. to 4:30 or thereabouts. In the church or in the churchyard, is there a more pleasant way of spending some of a Sunday afternoon? And also in Hethel, the Hethel 389th Bomb Group Memorial Exhibition is on Sunday the 9th of August from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The exhibition is in Potash Lane, Hethel, and admission is free. And then in Renningham, Step Back are providing live music at the Village Hall on Saturday the 8th of August from 8:30 p.m. to 11:45 p.m. And Wicklewood Windmill will be open from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on the 9th of August. That's a Sunday. And in Honingham, the Friendship Table meets every Wednesday between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the Goat Shed Kitchen. You can just turn up and say hello. The Friendship Table has become a place where friendships have flourished over coffee and laughter.
And some more what's on. Firstly, the Wyndham Music Events Group presents a Kiss tribute to ABBA. Friday the 14th of August 2026 at Wyndham Central Hall, Back Lane, Wyndham, which is NR180QB. The time is 7:30 p.m. and the tickets are £20, which you can get from ticket.co.uk/Wyndham-music-events-group or from Reeves Stationery Shop in Market Street, Wyndham, or you can call Norman and Helen on 01953 600563. I'll repeat that number. 01953 600563. And it's in aid of three local charities: the Wyndham Star Throwers Cancer Support, Wyndham Dementia Support Group, and it's On the Ball Testicular Cancer Group. Attleborough Royal British Legion have a number of events around the Poppy Trail around the town of Attleborough for the week commencing the 8th of August. On Tuesday the 11th of August at 7 p.m, remembering the Indonesia-Malaya conflict with poppies on Queen Square. On Saturday the 15th of August, VJ, Victory in Japan service at 7 p.m, also poppy at Queen Square. And St. Mary's Church Hall, Attleborough, has a coffee morning and sale on Tuesday the 12th of August from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And they are raising funds for Attleborough Day Centre, St. Mary's Church, Attleborough. There's also a concert there on Sunday the 13th of August at 7:30 p.m. The Cello Pilgrimage, and tickets can be purchased at the door. From the 28th of July to the 9th of August at Wyndham Arts Society, there's an exhibition called Creativity and Colour at the Church Street Arts Centre. Wyndham Art Society has enjoyed another busy year, so they are delighted to exhibit their members' work with more than 100 paintings, featuring a wide variety of styles, mediums, and subject matter. Paintings, greetings cards, and affordable unframed paintings are all for sale. And also at Wyndham Art Society, Church Street Arts Centre, from the 11th to the 16th of August, is an exhibition by Rebecca Chilton called The Four Seasons. And the work explores the human form through simplified sculptural shapes, where figures are folded and curved to express both strength and vulnerability and give each figure a sense of solidity and stillness. And both of those exhibitions are open from Tuesday to Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
And finally, some more dad jokes. I can't play the piano because it's not my forte.
What do you call a herd of sheep falling down a hill? A lambslide.
And who can shave 30 times a day and still have a beard? A barber. We're coming to the end of this edition of Your Talking Newspaper. If you have any comments to make about this edition, or queries about the service, or if you are having trouble returning wallets, please contact Georgette on 01953-605-434. You can also contact us and listen to news at www.watn.org.uk. When you have finished listening, remove the memory stick from the machine and rotate it back into its protective cover. Place the memory stick and its key fob inside the wallet, together with the address label, and return them to us. Very best wishes from all of us at the Talking Newspaper. Please stay safe and keep well. The next edition will be recorded in 2 weeks' time, on the 14th of August. So until then, it's goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye! Thank you.